Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sal Licata Show podcast, available on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe, download, rate, like, all those different things. Comment. We'll have some fun interacting with you with the comments. And if you don't like us, you can comment, I suck, and keep it moving. That's fine, too. Just a little programming note, if you're listening to this on Wednesday as the morning that we release it, 8 p.m. Wednesday night, BT will be joining me live on my YouTube channel. So we'll be streaming live, 8 p.m. BT and I have some fun talking some sports, getting to the Mets, Yankees, all those things. Speaking of the Yankees, you know, we did a lot of the Mets yesterday, but I wanted to get to the Yankees today. And in particular, with Giancarlo Stanton, the idea that he's going to be playing the outfield. When will the Yankees learn? Giancarlo Stanton is not an outfielder. He barely can play. It makes no sense. I hated the move when the Yankees got him after the 2017 season. Yankees go for the, you know, the game seven of the ALCS against the cheating Astros, and they go in the offseason, and their big move was adding Giancarlo Stanton, who just won an MVP with the Marlins, 59 home runs, and, you know, ridiculous amount of ribbies, and all of a sudden was actually playing the field at that point. I thought the move then was redundant. Adding another big, hulking, right-handed bat who plays right field along with Aaron Judge didn't make any sense. The Yankees went all in on Stanton, and his best year with the Yankees was his first year. It has been downhill since with Giancarlo Stanton, to a point where the way the ball club has been built, Stanton has been a roadblock for years because you can't bring in anybody else because of the contract, because of the position, you know, meaning DH is log jammed. You can't rest certain guys. It never made any sense. BT and I, as a matter of fact, would fight about this quite a bit. Or not, we would fight about it. We would be on the same side fighting off people about this. The Yankees should move on from Giancarlo Stanton. That's for years. And here's another example why, heading into the 2026 season, they're still talking about having Stanton play the outfield. The guy has played just over 200 games in the outfield in 8 years with the Yankees. He can't do it. So they could talk about it saying, oh, it's going to keep him fresh. It's going to keep him healthy, all those different things. Oh, we like Stanton in the outfield. Get Judge off his feet, which is the right idea. You don't want Judge, as he continues to get older, playing in the outfield every single day. You want him to get some at-bats at DH, and you need to keep his bat in the lineup. So how are you going to have both Stanton's bat and Judge's bat in the lineup? Well, we'll have Stanton play the outfield. Problem is, he can't do it. He can't do it. It's not going to keep him healthy. We've been down this road before. So I don't understand what the infatuation is with Giancarlo Stanton. The Yankees should move on from Giancarlo Stanton. And the idea that he's some great Yankee. Now, the one thing that I do like about Stanton, he's accountable. He's up front. He's open. All those different, honest. I think he's a good leader. Obviously, Judge is the captain. But I think Stanton is right, you know, alongside him as being a good veteran leader in that clubhouse and a good attitude in New York. Fans boo him. What does he say? I deserve to be booed. That's okay. Strike out five times, whatever it may be. They should get on me. So I like his mindset and attitude. And obviously his bat has played in the postseason before and he's hit some monstrous home runs. Nobody's knocking that. But overall, look at what he's done since he's been a Yankee. Three of his eight seasons, he has hit more than 30 home runs. One was the first year after they got him from the Marlins when they won the MVP. Now, that's 30 home runs or more in three seasons out of eight. He hit 59 before the Yankees got him. He has been nowhere near, not even close to the player that he was when they acquired him from the Marlins. Not even close. He's like, Stanton can't run. He can't field. He can't stay healthy. So then you would say, well, okay, well, what does he do? Well, obviously, he hits with power, right? Well, not if he's only had three seasons of 30 home runs or more, and not if he's had 1 year where he's driven in 100 runs with the Yankees. That's it. One year where he's had 100 RBI on the button. And again, that was the first season with the Yankees in 2018. So Giancarlo Stanton, to me, has been a big problem. Not that he's a bad guy, not that he's an awful, useless player, but he cripples what you want to do as far as flexibility, versatility in the lineup. And on top of that, he just has not been the offensive performer that he once was. That's a problem. And the Yankees just keep running it back with him. And they keep thinking it's going to be, you know, the definition of insanity. I hate this because people use it all the time. The definition of insanity, saying the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, or doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. That's what the Yankees are doing with Stanton. It's every year. They're doing the same thing and they're expecting a different result. They should have tried to move on from Stanton a long time ago, get ahead of the curve with that and realize, you know what? This guy can't run. He can't play the field. He's clogging up the DH spot. We're going to need that with Aaron Judge. Everybody gets on the Mets saying that they got multiple DHs. Well, you know, Juan Soto can't play the field. He's going to be a DH. Yeah, what do you think the Yankees have been doing for, you know, 7 years with Giancarlo Stanton? That's exactly what it's been, clogging up that DH spot. And it'd be okay if he were hitting 35 home runs and driving in over 100 runs every year. Obviously, that has not been the case with Stanton, and that's a big issue as well. So just the idea that the Yankees would, A, run it back, and then, B, think that Stanton's going to play the outfield, it just makes no sense whatsoever. And it shows you sometimes the foolishness, the thought process of everybody involved in the Yankees' decision-making, the hierarchy, whatever it may be, thinking that, okay, well, we got him. We're going to try to play him in the outfield because you don't want to just have Judge out there every single day. Now, what does that mean for Jason Dominguez if you're going to have Giancarlo Stanton play in the outfield? What are they doing with him? This is another issue that we've had, and we talked about it last year when I was on the Fan with BT. Him and I did get into an argument about this, talking about Dominguez. I was saying they should send him down to the minors. He was saying keep him up here, and he was talking about moving him to center field. Obviously, he's not playing center field because he can't play center field. I mean, he can't play center. If he can't even play left, let alone center. Guys that have issues in left field aren't a good center fielder. So Dominguez, should I call him Dominguez or should I call him the Martian? Or should I call him the Martian or should I call him Mickey Mantle? Which one is it? Is it Mickey or is it the Martian? Either way, he's nothing close to what he was supposed to be. And I think a big part of that is not just him not having the ability, because we've seen some potential. The light tower power in all of his, 12 home runs that he hit last year. Meanwhile, he had three homer games. So of those 12, he really only impacted 10 games with a home run, because the other two, he hit three homers in each, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, that light tower power wasn't there nearly often enough. And now, I think a bigger issue with Dominguez, because he's got the tools, right? He's got the speed, he's got the athleticism. Not good defensively, as we said, but I don't know. I can't excuse the lack of power. That's got to be better, and it just wasn't there for him. But a part of the issue for me is that they are not developing their young players right. It's not just Dominguez. It's Volpe as well. They've done it with both those guys. Volpe, years ago, they should have sent him down. All right, he won the job in spring training. Great. When he comes up and he's struggling and he's not the player that you expected him to be, what's the harm in sending him down to try to get him right? They keep him up, try to let him work his way out of it, and he never has. He hasn't. Period. End of story. Boone or everybody else can tell me about the gold gloves and all this and how good defensively he is. Anthony Volpe is nowhere near what he was supposed to be as a prospect. And that, I believe, is because the Yankees didn't develop him the right way. Now you fast forward to Dominguez, it's the same friggin' thing. Jason Dominguez should be in the minor leagues playing every day. Not because he sucks and can't cut it in the big leagues. It's okay to be in the minors. It's because you want him to develop properly. Take the Mets, for example. Francisco Alvarez a year ago, he came up, he came back from injury, he wasn't hitting. What'd they do? Ride it out or send him down? I'm going with option B. They sent him down, as you should, and he took it like a man. You know what? I needed to go down and work on my game. He came up, he was better off for it. This has happened forever in Major League Baseball, where guys that have high expectations, or even guys that are veteran players, whatever it may be, that aren't getting the job done, hey, you maybe should consider going down to the minors for a stint, and then you go down there and get yourself right. It's not a knock on Volpe, or in this case, Dominguez, to say, we're going to put you down, back down to the minors. We want you to play every day and get yourself ready so that when we do bring you up, you can be what we expected you to be. Whether it's in left field every day, whether it's a little DH, whatever it may be, they turned him into a fourth outfielder instead of developing what was supposed to be a star in the minor leagues. So to me, it would make no sense whatsoever to have him up here off the bench as a fourth outfielder. And they're loaded, I'm sorry, with Grisham, with Bellinger, with Judge in the outfield. What are you going to do? And then Stanton, although you know Stanton's going to get hurt, so it's a matter of time. And usually, like as we record this on February 18th, these things work themselves out. I mean, who knows? Injuries could happen or whatever. And then these things work themselves out and it's a non-issue. So I wouldn't worry about playing time for Dominguez. What I would worry about is developing him properly. That's what I'd worry about. He's going to get playing time, whether it's in the minor leagues or whether it's in the big leagues. I don't think, though, having him up here in the big leagues as a fourth outfielder is best for his development. Does that make sense to anybody? How does that make sense to anybody? What, because he could contribute and steal some bases or maybe hit 260? I mean, that's a big deal. The guy who was supposed to be Mickey Mantle? I didn't say that. Everybody else did. Mickey Mantle, Martian, all that stuff. That's not me. That's what everybody's saying about Dominguez. And then he comes up here and you see what you've seen. But I think it's less on him, the individual, and more on the Yankees not developing him properly. And they've had a pattern of this before. And now the next guy, Spencer Jones. Yeah, Spencer Jones is going to be the answer. The Yankees needed to clean up a little bit of that glut that they have. And instead, bringing back Bellinger, we know the right move. They had to do that. But then instead, they offer Grisham the qualifying offer, which he accepts, and they say great value for Grisham. Okay, maybe so. But now what does that do to the growth of Jason Dominguez? And there's just no room at the in for him. There's no room. I mean, that's it. Outside of injury, where's Dominguez going to play every day? Which to me means he should be in the minor leagues. Even if there's some issue with Stanton, and let's assume that there is no issue with Stanton, says he's feeling healthy and all that stuff, at least for now, why not start Dominguez in the minors? And why would that be a bad thing? It wouldn't. And look, with all this being said, nitpicking the Yankees, and we could do the same thing for Cam Schlittler as well. Like, there's this idea in New York that both Nolan McClain and Cam Schlittler are going to be lights out studs. Now, based on what we saw a year ago, that would be the expectation, the rightful expectation, okay? Schlittler was a stud in the postseason. McClain was a stud for his 8 starts when he came up. Schlittler obviously was good before that too, but really turned into a stud in the postseason. Because before that, he was a power pitcher, but primarily a 5 or 6 inning pitcher. So the Yankees let the reins off a little bit as we got into the playoffs. But both those guys have a lot to prove in year number 2. There's no guarantee that McClain's going to be some stud future ace. There's no guarantee that Cam Schlittler's going to be some lights out, you know, replica of Roger Clemens with the Yankees. Maybe, but there's no guarantee. They said the same thing about Luis Gil 2 years ago. Oh, Gil, rookie of the year, Doc Gooden, 1985. And then last year, it's, this guy stinks. Like, no, you got to expect that there's going to be inconsistencies. And that's what separates good or potential from greatness is consistency. It's impossible for Schlittler to be consistent because he's had 1 year so far. That's why before we put him in the Hall of Fame and compare him to Roger Clemens, maybe we should see it for year 2. Or Luis Gil, before we compare him to Doc Gooden 85 in 1 year, maybe we should see him for a full season or 2 full seasons. Nolan McClain, before we compare him to whoever they're comparing him to, maybe we should see him for more than 8 big league starts. So point is, you could nitpick all these things with the Yankees and talk about Stanton and the flexibility or Dominguez, or even is Schlittler going to be as dominant? Is the staff going to be healthy? And I think their staff is going to be fine, if not the best in baseball, maybe the second best in baseball behind the Dodgers. The Yankees are still a great team, and I would fully expect that the Yankees are going to be one of the best teams in the American League. I mean, think of the odds. We were doing this yesterday on SNY, where they had the odds to win the World Series this year. Dodgers are absurd favorites. Like, I would never bet that. Plus 200 before the season even gets started. I know they've won 2 in a row, but, I mean, come on. You know how hard it is? They barely beat the Padres 2 years ago in the first round. They barely beat the Blue Jays in the World Series last year. So, yeah, okay, they won, and I'm not taking away anything, but they were this close to being eliminated each of those 2 years and not winning. And they got over the hump, and they won the back-to-back World Series. Are they going to win a third? Maybe. I mean, their team on paper is loaded, but hard to win 1, let alone 3 straight. So I would never touch that. And right behind the, well, not right behind the Dodgers, a distant second, the Yankees are the second favorite to win the World Series. And that's not surprising. I think the Mets are right behind them with the Mariners. The Yankees are like plus 1,000. The Mets and Mariners are plus 1,300, something like that. So, I mean, you take that if you're the Yankees going into the year. And I agree with that. I thought the Yankees were better than Toronto last year. Even what went down in the regular season, I thought in the postseason the Yankees would beat them. Even what went down the first 2 games in Toronto, I still believe the Yankees were going to win that series after they won game 3. I was proven wrong. But I could understand the thought process again. If I had that thought last year, why wouldn't I believe that it could change this year if the Yankees are better in the regular season, which they expect to be because their team is not the way that it was all last year. It's post-trade deadline last year. They made some acquisitions, getting Cole back, obviously. You know, another full year of some of these guys who only performed there a half year. They should theoretically be better. I don't think the Blue Jays got significantly better. Losing Bo Bichette, even though he was hurt a lot of the year last year, bringing in Dylan Cease, I don't love. Maybe the Blue Jays are better. Maybe they're just as good. But even as good as they were a year ago, and as you know, much as we criticize the Yankees, they each still won 94 games. So it's not like the Blue Jays were that much better than the Yankees anyway. So I would take my chances. Could the Mariners beat the Yanks in a postseason series? Sure. Could the Tigers beat the Yankees? Sure. I mean, Toronto, Boston, they're going to be dangerous. But right now going in, if you had to bet your life on it, I would bet, if I had to bet my gun to your head, if I had a gun to my head, I'd take the Yankees to prevail in the American League over the other teams. Even though I know what I saw last year, I still believe And even though with all the nitpicking and the offseason stuff, I still believe the Yankees are better than those other teams, and I would take my chances with them. I just wish that they had a little bit more balance and realized that they can build a team that could have better success in the postseason, like having a true leadoff hitter, not a one-off aberration like Trent Grisham, somebody that could put the bat on the ball in front of Aaron Judge, maybe a little bit better defensively, maybe fewer strikeouts, fewer all-or-nothing guys like Jazz. Instead of Jazz, great numbers and extreme athleticism and 30-30 guy, which is great, but the Yankees don't need that. They have plenty of power up and down that lineup. Need a little bit more balance, so I would have liked that myself. All right. Topic number two, speaking of lineups, I know that this is going to be a theme of the spring going into opening day here, and the manager, Carlos Mendoza, kind of nipped it in the bud already by saying he wants it to be Lindor, Soto, Bichette, top three in that order. I'm sorry, but it makes no sense to me. Juan Soto's got to be your three hitter. I mean, what are we doing here? And then the primary reason why everybody's like, oh, no, Soto, he walks. He's also the only guy in the lineup that is capable of hitting 40-plus home runs. Okay, he walks. Great. So let the guy behind him. You know, my thinking is the guys on in front of him. Lindor, Bichette, let them get on in front of Juan Soto, and then the opposition has to come into Soto instead of pitching around him. And if they do pitch around him, now they're going to be in a predicament because you're going to have bases loaded or two guys on for Polanco or whoever follows him in the lineup. To me, I'd rather have more guys on in front of Soto and force the opposition to pitch to him and then have the potential. And I think Soto's going to have an even better year than he had last year. Maybe not just statistically, but clutch-wise. How many times did Soto come up last year, first and third or first and second, two guys on, and Soto's up, you know, with a chance to really do some damage in the game, and he failed. He did that a ton and then still put up monster numbers. So I think that's going to change this year. The clutch factor with Soto, I expect to be there from the beginning of the season throughout. And I want to see him hitting third so he can maximize his potential with the power. Come on. Nobody else on the team. Literally nobody else on the team. I mean, I was going to say nobody else has literally ever hit 40 home runs. I'm not sure that that's accurate, but no one else on the team has the power that Juan Soto has. Couldn't say that last year. We talk about Pete. Well, Pete's the most prolific home run hitter that the Mets have. Well, that's not there anymore. So they have a much more balanced lineup with more guys that could hit 20 home runs than they did a year ago. But the one clear power threat in that lineup, it's not Lindor, it's not Bo Bichette, it's not Polanco, it's not Vientos or anybody else, not Simeon. It is Juan Soto. He's the clear power threat. Why the hell would you have him in front of Bo Bichette hitting second? That makes no sense to me. Call me old school. Call me what you want. You know, whatever. I mean, I've heard it all, especially on social media. I think it's wrong, and I think it's a matter of time. May not be in spring, maybe opening day. I'm expecting opening day. It's going to be Lindor, Soto, Bichette. Maybe it's not even the first couple of months. At some point in the season, Mendy will come to his senses, and he will have Lindor, Bichette, Soto, 1-2-3 in the order. It just makes too much sense. I mean, I know you're moving Soto to left field. Everybody was like, oh, how are you going to move him? He doesn't want to move. And maybe that's a part of the thought process here with Soto in the lineup, although they did move him around last year. So maybe that's a thing. Like this year, Soto asked to be left alone, pick a spot, and then leave me there. So maybe there will be less juggling. I have no idea. I have no insight to that whatsoever. I'm just trying to think of reasons for why he would not have him at third. And it can't just be, oh, well, he's going to walk and you want Bichette on because he's a clutch hitter. He's not, but I don't care what the numbers say, Bichette is not more clutch than Juan Soto, and he's not as powerful as Juan Soto. So that makes no sense to me whatsoever. One more thing on the Mets, because I saw this and I was actually surprised here that after the King Cohen episode yesterday, you know, Cohen had his comments, and I thought it was great. There were just many comments that you have to love as a sports fan. I was legitimately thinking, like, there are sometimes I give an opinion that I know is going to be against the grain, or is going to get some people riled up and either come against me or either with me, whatever. But it's my opinion. It is what it is. Some are in line with other thinking. Some are not. I don't care. It's my opinion. So I don't go based off what anybody else says. But I just assume that most people, when they hear Steve Cohen say what he said the other day, are in alignment with me thinking, like, you know what? Yes, I would rather have no other owner in the sport than this guy. And it's not true, because then I still was getting comments like, oh my God, you're a shill for the Mets, or what has he done? He continues to lose. You guys just don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you. You just have no idea of what you're talking about. Obviously, he hasn't won enough. He said that himself. That's part of why he's annoyed. You can't buy it. But ask yourself this. If you're a Mets fan who's questioning Steve Cohen, or even a Yankees fan or whatever, fan of other, check the other box, that's questioning Steve Cohen and criticizing him. If you could buy a World Series win, right? If you could. Obviously, the Dodgers spent a lot of money, but there's no guarantees. Mets spent a lot of money. Yankees have spent a lot of money. Haven't won a Mets haven't won in 40 years. Yankees, it's been 16 seasons or whatever it is. So you can't buy a World Series. But if you could buy a World Series win, do you think Steve Cohen would do it? Let's say, hypothetically, it cost $2 billion. $2 billion. Name the owners in sport, all sports, that you think would fork over $2 billion to have their team win a championship. Okay, now forget all sports and forget all owners. Let's just focus on the two New York baseball owners. Do you think Hal Steinbrenner would spend $2 billion to have the Yankees win a championship? I don't. Do I think Steve Cohen would spend $2 billion to have the Mets win a championship? I do. And that's not just based on hope or foolish thinking. It's based on what each has said and how each has operated for the last several years. Hal continues to reference, and it's not a knock, like the Yankees spend a ton of money. I'm just trying to, you'd rather have the Yankees ownership over the majority of other owners. I'm trying to show you how much Steve Cohen, to me, should be valued as an owner. And as a sports fan, I'd rather have no other owner than Steve Cohen. Because if he could buy a World Series win for $2 billion, for $5 billion, I believe he'd do it. And I don't believe the majority of others, including the Yankees owner, I don't think he would do it. That should tell you all that you need to know about his want and desire. And I don't know why you would knock him for their failures. It's not his fault. And look, they failed last year. They took a blowtorch to it. And instead, you guys, the same guys who were knocking him saying they didn't win enough, you wanted Diaz and Alonso and Nimmo and everybody back. I mean, it makes no sense. Help it make sense, please. All you can ask for from a fan's perspective is an owner who's willing to prioritize winning and give the necessary resources to help that happen. Steve Cohen has done that, especially coming from where they did with prior ownership, who post-2009 didn't do that at all. It wasn't about prioritizing winning. It wasn't. Now, prior to that, yeah, to a certain extent, the Mets were a top spender, never to the Yankees level back then, but they were always in the ballpark, third, fourth, sometimes second, whatever it may be. Post-2009, didn't happen until Steve Cohen came in, and that's when the Mets were taken seriously again. And now, not only are they taken seriously, outside of the Dodgers, they get the player that they want more than anybody else. I don't know how you can't love that. The results need to follow. But he's learning as well. So let's see. The reason why the Mets lose or have been losing is not because of the owner. Put it that way. Put your criticism elsewhere. On Pete, on Lindor, on Soto, everybody. Everybody was a part of the team last year. Years before that, it is not the owner. I just don't understand, and I'll never understand why fans would criticize Steve Cohen. I mean, he's a godsend. You wish, Steve. I wish he owned every team that I root for. I wish that was the case. All right, a couple more before we wrap up. A reminder, too, we'll have BT Live 8 p.m. tonight on my YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe to that. You can comment, interact with us. We'll have some fun with that. Salflix, I watched Begonia, and it was a weird movie. I'm trying to go through all the best pick noms. Bada Booms had an issue with me saying that yesterday. The best pick nominations, for those of you who are not familiar with the best pick noms, anyway, I'm trying to watch them all. Some I'm like, eh. And Begonia, I was like, eh. It actually wasn't bad. It was weird. Have you seen that one, Bada Booms, at all? Begonia, you know, that's with Emma Stone. You haven't seen it?
It actually sounds familiar. I feel like I have seen the trailers for it.
You need to, like, part of your homework, part of your job here is that I want you to watch all the best pick noms as well. Have you seen any of them? Do you even know what they are?
I honestly don't think I've seen any of them.
You haven't seen any? I mean, I shouldn't knock. When I was your age, I was more into like Adam Sandler movies and comedies.
No. I'm a big cinephile. I've been lacking recently.
I feel like you're loud in my ear. Is that normal? Are you louder than normal? It's just that I could hear better today.
You could probably hear better today, but I'll lower myself if it is loud.
We had some take you behind the curtain here a little bit. So I finally figured out on my setup how to hear myself back. It's why I'm wearing headphones. I feel like the old me is back. Radio Sal is back. No, I feel like the old me is back a little bit because I can hear myself. And if you don't hear yourself, you feel like you're not on. Couple that with doing a show from your office, you really feel like you're not on. Like, who the hell's watching this? Or who the hell's listening to this?
Without a backdrop, too, it must make it real tough.
Yeah, no backdrop, exactly. I mean, that's an awkward thing, too. I got to get this nice, big, I'm thinking about, you know, big. Anyway, so, yeah, I'm trying to feel like I'm on. And then we were having technical difficulties, like five times we went to record the beginning of the episode and we're having weird sounds. So we're delayed a little bit today. I hate that. I want people to have this first thing in the morning in their podcast feed, so we apologize. That's a little tardy, but anyway, let's just take you behind
back
the
to begonias.
Scenes a little bit. Yeah, well, I'm hearing you go so loud in my ear. Begonia was good. It's hard to say I'd recommend it. Like, my wife was asking me, how is it? Because that's the one she took a pass on. She'll selectively drop in and watch certain movies. Like, okay, I want to see this one. Let's see how it is. But some of these movies, man, they're like, this movie was, would I ever watch it again in my life? I would never watch it again. It was okay. I like Emma Stone. A decent, unique premise, I guess. You should see it, Bada Booms. And I'd be curious.
Oh, the thick boy's in it. I didn't even realize.
Who is that? I know
who
you're talking about, but
my thick king, Jesse Plemons. I don't think he's thick anymore.
Oh, no. Jesse Plemons is not thick. His cousin in the movie. What is it? Plemons?
Yes. He used to be a thick boy. With a P.
Yeah, he's from Breaking Bad, right? Is that where he got famous? He's been in a lot of big...
No,
big
dude, movies. You're thinking of Jesse. You're thinking of the other guy.
No, he was... I'm pretty sure he was in Breaking Bad.
The ginger guy?
Yes.
Oh, I could be wrong then. I don't remember that.
Have you seen Breaking Bad?
Of course.
I don't think you have.
No, I have. I just did the thing. Of course I... Jesse.
I don't know what that is.
Walter
all right.
White. It's him saying Jesse.
And then last one for you, Bada Booms, before we leave. Shorter episode today, like we said, because of the technical difficulties and we got stuff to do here. I've been getting, you know, it's good to get feedback from people, especially in the comments, but I've been getting multiple people giving me feedback on the logo for the show being too big. Yeah. Do you have any thought? Like, I leave that stuff to you. I don't think it looks bad, but I've heard even Danny Wex, who was a guest last week with us, saying that, yeah, she saw a comment and she agrees that it looks too big. They want to see me more, less logo. I mean, is that something that you want to work on or take it into consideration?
I think what we should do is we should take every comment suggestion and just run with it.
Yeah,
so, like,
no,
especially if they offset, we should, like, do one thing one day and then revert to the comment that offsets that comment.
I know, but you have to admit that there have been some very helpful comments and feedback. Like Doe,
yeah, there have been.
My former colleague, he's helped us out a little bit. So we're learning along the way. If I
wait, can we shout out the great Ray Martell this morning, who was,
oh my God, Ray
Johnny
Martell,
on the spot.
Ray Martell, he is my savior. I love Ray. Legit, like, great friends with him for a long time. I'd do anything for him, and I know he'd do anything for me. He's down in Port St. Lucie getting ready for the season. He produces Mets baseball and all that. I'm calling him at 8:30 in the morning. Ray, I got a technical issue here, bro. Help me out. And he's doing it, hopping on the Zoom with us. How great is Ray Martell? Dude, he's a legend. You know Martell from listening
of
to the
Binning. Of course,
though,
bro.
You?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to do the Joe B voice. I'm holding it back.
We're retiring that. All right. And we're going to wrap it up for this episode of the podcast. We apologize for the lateness of it. We apologize for the shortness of it. About 15 minutes, maybe shorter than normal. But we have to go. We have other stuff to do. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Stay tuned tonight for the live 8 p.m. Live stream on this YouTube channel with BT. We'll have some fun with him with that. Remember,
it should be up. So if you want to pre-save it.
Okay, there you go. Pre-save it. That is up. Good job with that, Bada Booms. I'll post it on social media as well so we get that link out there. Have BT pump it out as well. You should do that before 10, before he gets going live. Anyway, also comment, all that stuff. We'll have comment episodes where we respond to either questions or comments. Remember, too, we're a little bit a ways from it, but once we get to 10K subscribers, we'll give away a pair of tickets, Mets-Yanks Subway Series in May at Citi Field, field-level tickets, so we have that coming as well. All right, that does it for this episode of the Sal Licata Show. We'll have another one for you tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your day. See you live, 8 p.m. Wednesday night with BT. Bye.